And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And
we really need a webcam in here.
You're doing
great.
I'm not kidding. He's a dancer, Mr. Eric.
You know how to line dance this?
I don't know how to line dance anything.
Oh, okay.
I still want to hear what happened as they drew obscene or they were Well, let me ask you this. Were they tracing anything at your bar crawl?
I don't want to say.
Oh, my God. That would be expanding territory.
No, but you know what? This song was not at the bar crawl, but usually is.
I like this song, though.
Footloose from Footloose. It's from the new version.
It's a good one. Century version.
Yeah, this is Blake Shelton singing this. This is from the...
it's good.
Yeah? It's from the...
I like it.
Who started in this? Kenny...
Penny Youngman. Penny
like
Youngman.
That. And...
Take my wife,
and
please.
Huff. And Huff. What's a...
Take my ex-wife,
not
please.
Derek Huff's sister.
Yeah.
I actually interviewed her, which is sad that I can't
remember
her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, from...
she's a cutie.
Dancing with the Stars.
Don't know her.
I interviewed her,
why can't we remember her first name?
No.
So, Eric, if we do a remote in L.A. and interview Celestina, you're up for it going down there?
Sure, why not? I mean, my whole former life was in L.A. and Orange County, so...
Oh, wow.
I've got friends.
I lived in Fountain Hills.
I've got friends, too. Oh, I've
Fountain
got
Hills.
Me.
Fountain Hills, California?
Fountain Valley.
Fountain Valley, yes. That's right next to Huntington.
Yeah. Oh, you lived in Huntington?
No, I used to surf Huntington.
You did? Really?
Yeah, I used to get up every morning at 5 and go hit the pier.
My ex lived in Huntington.
What'd you hit it with?
The pier.
My surfboard.
Oh. Your surfboard? That was a good one, though. Hey, Greg.
No, but I'm not sure if that would we get away with that.
Great. No, it's from like Karate Kid, Wax
yeah,
on,
yeah,
Wax
yeah.
So Greg was in here. I had to do something, right?
Oh, well, my God, is it getting steamy in there?
Yes.
I hope not. It was steam. Let's say it was steamy earlier when Celestina was on the phone.
But we do want to mention that if people missed Kathy Griffin's interview last Saturday on Breakthrough Entertainment, go to breakradioshow.com under Breakthrough Entertainment and listen to a great interview. It was fabulous.
It was a good interview, and I was surprised how tame she was.
She was great. She is such a cool lady and funny. Yeah, we really like her.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So a lot of great shows that we've had in our past, and of course we've got some great shows coming up. Next week is our Breakthrough Entertainment's Mercenary Show, all in honor of The Expendables 3.
And you know what? I can't wait to see that because there's so many people in it. Harrison
Huge.
Ford, I can't believe, is involved in that.
Mel Gibson.
Well, I can't believe Mel Gibson's involved because what has he got going on?
But he plays a rabbi. That's the weird thing.
Say one anti-Semitic remark and you're done in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Frasier's going to be in that, too.
Frasier?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that show, though.
Yeah.
Really? Kelsey Grammer?
Kelsey Grammer.
I love him. Did you ever watch Boss?
No.
No.
You haven't seen that?
I saw Frasier.
What about Cheers?
Oh, funny. I always loved Cheers.
Cheers was good, but yeah. You should watch Boss. I think it's on FX or something.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's really good. He plays the mayor of Chicago.
Oh.
It's like a, I think it's
Mayor
like a,
Daly.
It's an hour long show, but it's pretty pretty awesome.
I have to check that out.
He's really good in that.
So you just said you can't wait to see The Expendables 3. Does that mean that you might go into the theater?
No.
Oh.
How are you going
to
see it?
I mean, maybe, but that wouldn't be my first choice to pay for.
Oh, okay. I thought that we were going to finally have you like involved in one of our main movie discussions.
I don't know. Send me another password.
Okay. All right. Main movie discussions. They don't make those available.
AMC or Harkins?
What?
AMC?
I go to AMC.
You do?
Yeah. Movies are cheaper, and theaters, I like the sound better.
I didn't know they were cheaper.
Yeah. $5 Monday through Thursday before noon.
The matinees.
Yeah. Before noon.
I had
no idea. And then Friday through Sunday, it's $6.
So you actually have to pay at some point?
Yeah, I just said that I had to pay to see all these movies today. Except for one of them. And I won't tell you which one, but I'll tell you some of them that I did have to pay for.
Why can't you tell us?
I did not pay to see About Alex. I was just trying to leave it like that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But Step Up, All In, I paid for, and I'm not disappointed that I paid for at all, worth a full price. I would have paid prime time admission.
You would have paid $10,000 for one of those.
No, I would not.
You saw About Alex, right?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll be talking about that one a little
reviewing
bit.
Reviewing that. Yes.
But I will also say that I paid to see Into the Storm, which is the next movie we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Into the Storm. I'm going to go a little bit out of order here. We had a schedule change. And in Into the Storm, the storm trackers, thrill seekers, and everyday townspeople document an unprecedented onslaught of tornadoes touching down in the town of Silverton. Did you see this movie?
I did see the movie.
Is
did
you? Like, I haven't seen it. Is this like Sharknado?
It's more like Twister. It's about storm. You know, there's basically three different groups of people. There's the storm chasers. There are there's a group of high school students and their parents that were going to go, you know, be involved in graduation. And then there's also a couple of amateur daredevils who decide they want to be storm chasers as well.
Yeah. So should I give you a little comment?
Well, were you excited to see the movie? First of all,
I was excited.
I was excited to see this too.
Yeah, I mean, because
the trailers
I did
look amazing.
Yeah, I enjoy. I never saw the trailer, but I did like Twister, and I thought, oh, might be interesting. I thought it was a clever film, actually. That's how I want to start, because it was a film filming a documentary, thus making it a movie with a documentary feel at times. It wasn't a documentary, but it was filming the individuals. Filming their experiences.
Right. It's not exact. I mean, it's sort of found footage, but it's more of a. It's more of a.
Much better.
A documentary. It's more firsthand account.
It was clever. I haven't seen something like this before, and I liked it. They called it, you know, some of the filming of the cast, they call it time capsules because they were graduating high school, and the question was, what are you going to do 25 years from now? And, you know, some people said, you know, some girls marry a rich guy, be an all-star basketball player.
Yeah, the all-star basketball player guy. His scene later in the movie, I don't want to say what it was, but that was hilarious. Yeah. I laughed out loud.
That was funny. And so the start of the film was good. I thought it introduced many of the key players right off the bat. You know who you're going to be looking at. Amazing action scenes. I think some animated, but I bet there was some actual footage from these big tornadoes is my guess. I didn't find out exactly, but it looked like some of them were actually news clips from some of these tornado scenes. The central theme was live each day as if it was your last, because someday it will be. And they said that in the film, which I thought was interesting. One day at a time, the theme, like I said, the filmmaker didn't have to put in any gratuitous sex scenes or any other corny material. I think the film stood on its own. I wish it had a little bit more controversy, maybe global warming stuff, and why they made a comment that, hey, you know, these unusual storms are you know, hit once in a lifetime. Now it seems every year there's a big storm. So it's fast-paced, held my interest. Scene of the two 17-year-olds being rescued was intense. One of the best scenes that you'll see. Thumbs up.
Yeah, you know what? I'm giving it a thumbs up as well. It does precisely what the title states. It takes moviegoers into the storm. That's what the title says. That's exactly what the movie
is. The Eye of the Tornado.
And you know what? I'm going to say that it's not a real storm. These storms, these tornadoes, they're not real.
Oh.
It's all digital effects.
Pretty amazing, though.
And you know what? That very well may have been real because it fooled you.
It did.
And I'm sure that it fools a lot of people out there. These look real.
Wow.
It is outstanding. You know, it serves as one heck of a special effects demo reel. The sights and sounds are sincerely spine-tingling. I mean, I have to say that I was watching Step Up in the theater next door to Into the Storm, and the theater was rumbling. That is how.
Wow.
I mean, when you go in and step into the auditorium to see Into the Storm, you are literally stepping into the storm.
Yeah.
You are. I mean, this is.
And they did have scenes about that, though. Right. There.
Yes. Yeah.
So frightening.
Yes.
So the sound engineering was good.
Yes, the sound engineering is good, and it looks amazing. I mean, these look real. I mean, there's a fire tornado.
I see that on the poster.
Yeah,
incredible.
There's the jumpers. I mean, the one, it looks like the twister's going to come down, and then it goes back up, and then there's another one that comes down.
Incredible.
You don't know where they're going to go. There's, of course, the tornadoes that merge into one giant tornado. Amazing. I will say that I am glad that they didn't get into all the global warming stuff. I do believe that maybe they could have gotten into, you know, why is this happening? But we are seeing some really weird weather.
Very
all
weird.
Across, you know, the world.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't mind that, because the rest of the movie, was a little bit silly.
Wait, you don't mind?
I don't
weird
mind
weather
no,
all
no,
over
no,
the world.
I mind weird weather, but I don't mind. I really
you don't
mind
that. Hurricanes hitting Hawaii right
nah,
now.
Nah, forget Whoa. That. Ah, forget about it. No.
But you thought it was silly. Oh, you mean
no,
that?
I would say in between the twisters, in between, because there's. The one part I was a little disappointed was I thought that it was going to be absolutely nonstop, and it wasn't. There were some scenes of downtime. Of course, you know, they need to show the after effects of each of the tornadoes.
Right.
And it's just not tornado after tornado after tornado. There are scenes in between the touchdowns, and those are the ones that I kind of, you know, I was a little bit those felt a little bit barren because the characters are cardboard thin. And the dialogue is extremely dippy.
Easily picked up by a tornado.
Yes, very easily picked up by a tornado, especially these. These would, like, you know, would tear apart these cardboard thin characters. The acting I didn't have a problem with. I love Sarah Wayne Callis from Prison Break.
Was that the meteorologist?
Yes.
Beautiful.
She's beautiful. Oh. She's a great actress. I loved her on Prison Break. She does a
very
great
nice.
Job here.
Let's get her on the show.
We should.
She's very cool.
And also the main storm chaser guy, he was great.
He is excellent. Yeah. I've seen him before.
Yeah, I've seen him before, too. I don't remember his name, but he...
The youngest kid was sort of cool.
Yeah, he was cool. And, yeah. You know, I don't want to reveal it what, but at one point, you get to see above the tornado, right? That was like a moment of spirituality.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire theater...
Richard Armitage?
Yes. Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, and you get to see above all of the storms, and, I mean, because... These storms are wreaking havoc on the ground, and then you get to go above it all. And for about 10, 20 seconds, I mean, my heart just, like, stopped, and I felt at peace. And it was amazing that this movie, with all this destruction and chaos, could create that moment of, like, spirituality and peace and just, like, some sort of, like, evolution in just all understanding.
But what goes up must come down.
Absolutely. And that was
that's
that
why
was,
I didn't feel at peace.
I felt at peace, and then all of a sudden, and then you could feel, you know, the
like
theater,
a roller coaster.
And that's exactly what I say in my review. This is not a movie. Into the Storm is not a movie. It is a riveting roller coaster ride. Who needs to go to Six Flags? Who needs to go to Disneyland? Who needs to go to anywhere? All you have to do is pay the price of admission to see Into the Storm, and you are going to the best amusement park that you could possibly go to.
Nicely said. I agree. Eric, I think you're going to like this movie.
It's not going to feel the same at home.
I won't know for about a year and a half.
And you're not going to it's not going to feel the same at home. This is one of those movies that you have to feel in the theater.
I have surround sound.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Well, that works.
By the way, it looks like there's only two women in the whole movie.
There's not there's
I'm looking at the cast, and there's Sarah Wayne Callis. And Alicia Debnam
Carey. That's the girl that
maybe that's right.
In love with. Yeah.
Very cool, though.
And then, there's 20 dudes in it.
Yeah, there's
yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Come on.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. There's Keela. Keela Wayne Winterhalt.
You can always see it in a closet.
Oh, and Marianne Nagel. I expanded.
All right, now we're
in the cast.
Now we're rolling.
Yeah. So I will say it's impossible to avoid getting sucked into and swept away by its exciting entertainment value. So, yeah, definitely go see Into the Storm.
Yes.
There are people who are tearing apart this movie as if they were tornadoes, you know, critics and stuff like that. I mean, all because it's a little bit silly with the dialogue, but I'm sorry. When you have, I mean, this is amazing. That's all I could say.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah. Go see this.
From the start, I like this movie, right from the start. Unlike Step Up, where I had to get past the first parts, but... This
I will say that I like Step Up more. But they're completely different movies.
Very different, yeah. No question. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
So wow, we're green today. Yeah. So far, two thumbs up.
Well,
with
now,
one. I have one more movie to go.
Yeah. Well, and we have a few other movies to talk about, including The 100-Foot Journey. You really wanted to see this movie.
I did indeed. The trailer looked fantastic. I got to tell you.
Well, Helen Mirren plays the proprietress of a celebrated French restaurant who clashes with the members of an Indian family after they open their own literally
100 feet away.
Oh yes, 100 feet away. They have their own eatery. It's a little Indian restaurant, 100 feet away across the street. That's what the title refers to, The 100-Foot Journey. Undeniable chemistry eventually causes her to take one of the members, a gifted young chef, under her wing. I'm not going to say what happens in the film, but why did you want to see it?
Well, first of all, the great acting that it looked like on the trailer, but
Helen
it looks
Mirren.
Yeah, and it just looked great. It was refreshing, passionate, and delicious.
And you know what?
Those are the three words I'm using.
That's quite accurate. I think you're going to love this movie. Out of all the movies that I paid for this week, this one was the one that was completely packed.
Oh.
There were only a few open seats
in
the entire theater. Most of the theater was, auditorium was older audiences, but I was surprised there were some younger viewers as well. And I believe that regardless of your age, you will absolutely love this movie. Do you know who directed it?
No.
Lasse Hallström.
No way.
Swedish director who also directed Chocolat.
Oh, so, that's why.
And what I gathered from the trailer, which I did see,
okay,
is that Helen Mirren has a French accent.
Yes.
I can't stand that. Just hire a French actress.
Well, they wanted... Yeah, I know. Well, they wanted a...
I don't like watching movies when somebody's supposed to have an accent and it's not genuine. I don't like it.
But here's the thing. The movie is so good that doesn't matter after, maybe the first scene, when she first opens her mouth, you're going to be like, wait a minute, that's what she's going to talk like? But the movie is so charismatic and just so wonderful that all that just kind of disappears and you don't see this as Helen Mirren anymore. You see her as the character that she's playing.
And movies about food or cooking... it seems to attract me. I mean,
Catherine Deneuve would have been perfect.
Yeah, she would have been good. But the sizzle and the whole environment over cooking is always intriguing to me, like the chef with...
I still haven't seen Chef.
I don't think we reviewed that, but I really liked it.
We'll review it in a couple weeks because it's coming out on DVD. John Favreau.
Very good. And it's a similar type of stuff. I love that stuff.
Yeah, Chocolat, we have talked about that before. That is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's been 14 years and 10 movies, in terms of Lasse Hallström's other movies that he's made. He's made 10 other movies in the meantime.
Oh, wow.
And this is the one that comes closest to Chocolat. It is not a breakthrough, but I am giving The 100-Foot Journey a thumbs up because, they both deal with, both this and Chocolat deal with, outsiders attempting to open food-related establishments in towns that are less than welcoming. The similarities also go a little bit deeper because, this is the epitome of a feel-good flick. I walked out of this movie feeling really, really good, really warm. And, it's difficult to determine what is more delectable, though. You use the word delicious.
Yes.
I'm going to use delectable, basically the same thing. The exceptionally charming story that warms your heart or the luscious-looking cuisine that makes your mouth water. I made the mistake of seeing this movie in the middle of the day without having eaten lunch.
Oh, you must have been starving.
I was. I was watching this movie, and I was like, I almost walked out. If the movie wasn't so absolutely wonderful, I would have walked out because I was like, my stomach was, I needed to eat. The meals look wonderful.
I noticed there was a lot of curry in it.
There is, but there's a lot of other spices and other meals as well. Some that did not appeal to me. They had pigeon and they had sea urchin.
Oh, pigeon. I've got like 8 of those living in my roof.
Well,
that you could cook them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't get myself to kill them, though.
The prime minister, that's his favorite.
We'll get the NRA to kill them.
Yes, I could call, what's his name?
Charlton Heston. Wayne's World.
I forget his name.
Wow. Wayne. Oh, yeah, the director.
Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah, he'll do it.
I'm sure he would. He'd come out all armed up and stuff.
He'd even pay you to do it. I mean, he'd pay you to let him do it.
He probably would.
Wow.
Well, either way, cook them up because I'm curious to see what they taste like. Seeing as
No.
Well, they made them look so good in this
movie. Maybe like chicken.
I don't care what the movie was, the food was in this movie.
It's probably okay.
It looked delicious, and I just, it's like, they need to make like an amusement park with all these food-related movies, where you could just go and try all the food.
That'd be delicious.
This and Julie and Julia, and like you said, Chef and Chocolat. And I'm gonna tell you, go out and see The 100-Foot Journey in theaters, and then come home and pair it with Chocolat for a very delightful dessert. Dessert.
Hey, nice idea.
Yeah, because they're both directed by the same director and same sort of story. Chocolat is definitely
Chocolat party at Joseph's house.
Okay, that sounds weird, but okay.
Yeah, that sounds like no women will be there.
No, women love that. Don't they?
No, just skim over it. Skim over it.
Oh, skim milk?
Skim milk.
No, women love Chocolat, I thought. Okay. Don't they?
Yes, it is an aphrodisiac, and like I said, our friend Amy, she sent me that aphrodisiac book.
So then we'll have an aphrodisiac party at Joseph's house, women only.
Okay.
We'll start with women only, just to teach them, right, Eric?
Correct.
But we'll be the three teachers.
Right. You, me, and Joseph will be the only dudes there.
Yes. Nice. What do you think?
I'm in.
You're all in. Yes. Okay.
All right. So again, we got so far three big thumbs up. We've got Step Up All In, got a thumbs up. We got a thumbs up for two thumbs up for that. Two thumbs up for Into the Storm.
Very
and now
good.
I gave a thumbs up to The 100-Foot Journey. I can't wait to see have you see it.
Yeah, I want
to
see that.
I'm sure that you're going to love it.
Absolutely.
And taking us into the break is from Fame, the new Fame remake, Fame by Naturi Naughton.
They remade that, really?
Naturi Naughton.
It was a good movie. It's fun.
That's a Christmas song. Naturi Naughton are nice. Am I right?
No.
Did you see the first one?
The first one? No, I never saw the first thing.
Well, then you can't. Or judge
I'm not comparing it. I'm just saying the remake was good.
What type of name is Naturi Naughton? Say that three times.
How do you spell that?
Naturi Naughton. Say it three times.
Naturi Napkins.
No. Okay, well, that's
and
a different
she's
product.
Not gonna be on the show.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
You're going to remember my name.
We'll be right back.
It's always great to have a friend in business. That's why we encourage you to reach out to Brandon Ross at Burt Carpenter Financial, a full-service residential lender. Call now for exceptional service and an accurate pre-qualification. Connect with him online at BrandonRossHomeLoans.com or by phone at 602-953-7826, 602-953-7826. Brandon Ross, NMLS number 858655, and Burt Carpenter Financial, NMLS number 142159.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com. We'll be right back.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
You're it is 1971.
And that is John Travolta.
John Travolta?
It's the Bee Gees.
He's revolting?
Isn't that Saturday Night Live?
Not Saturday Night Live, and it's Saturday Revolting.
What's that called?
It is Saturday Night Fever,
that
Staying one. Alive by the Bee Gees,
that's
starring John Travolta.
Not John Travolting.
No.
John Travolta.
No.
I like him in Face Off.
Okay.
And Grease.
Strangely, I like that movie.
You liked it? That's a good movie.
It was ridiculous, but I liked it.
Nicolas Cage and John Travolta.
Yeah. So, of course, Saturday Night Fever is all about dancing, and that's what we're celebrating.
How about
here
Grease? Do we have any Grease songs? I love
no,
that.
No, not,
that's good
not,
action.
Not today. Not
How about
today.
Another Day? I
another
love
Day,
Grease.
Yes.
I love Grease songs.
I told you that's one of the songs from Grease. Is
I
what I did
you.
My duet.
Multiplying. Okay.
Anyway. I did one of my my karaoke. I did with a hot girl. You know, to one of those Grease songs.
Oh, you did? Which one?
Summer Nights.
Oh wow!
Because you know Summer Nights are hot.
And then you got down in the sand.
Did
you do the part of Olivia?
No, I did John Travolting.
Oh. The dancing of John Travolting. Okay. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live 1480 AM KPHX. How fast can you say that?
I don't know. How fast can you say it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So here we are.
Say it three times real fast.
KPHX. See? I was so fast you didn't hear the other two.
Wow.
I'm so fast I can get in bed when I turn the lights off before the light gets off.
Wow, that's good.
I don't know what I meant.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Not for Trish.
Oh, yeah. That's true. In fact, I'm so small that I could play handball on the side of a curb. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure that one out.
I don't know if
side
you
want
to.
Side of a curb. You know, a little curb? Okay.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Humor by Joseph J.
No, it's Arnold. Not humor by me.
You wrote the material.
I did not write that. Oh. I programmed the show. I produced the show.
I know, but you're doing a great job.
What people don't realize that are listening is Joseph writes all of our lines and everything we say every day.
Yes. So when they're picking on me, I'm actually picking on myself.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So I don't know. Maybe want to give the publicist a call for our next guest. You know, I know we're just a couple minutes.
It said incoming.
Yeah, it said incoming.
Incoming.
But when they don't call in, you know, I think it's the publicist. I think if you want to just give them a shout out, and we'll see if we're
able
to
shout
get
out. We love to give shout outs.
Yeah. Shout out. Shout out. What?
Okay.
What?
So what do we got? We got Calvary?
No. Yeah. No, not that one. The next one. The 1025.
These are called.
We gave up on him.
Huh? What? We gave up on the other one.
The other guest.
Yes. No, we'll give this one a shot. Hopefully this one will come through.
All right.
Yeah. But we've got a lot more coming up on Breakthrough Entertainment
today.
More to come. We've got a review of Calvary in a little bit, and reviews of About Alex, and a review of Child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have on a few more guests today as well. And so we'll just.
Well, that's going to be fun, including who you like to go out with.
Yes,
Canada.
I would definitely like. You know, Canadians are really hot.
Hey,
oh, hey,
not, yeah.
Why are you trying to be Canadian now?
Yeah, John Candy was pretty attractive.
No.
He wasn't.
What? Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
someone else. No, Mackenzie Porter from Hell on Wheels. She's also she's an actress and a musical artist. She'll be on the show a little bit later on. So.
She's worked with Patrick Swayze. Of course, he's passed away for a while, but he was quite good.
Yeah.
And Aidan Quinn, she worked with.
She did? Okay.
That's pretty cool. Best Actress Award. She got the Alberta Film and Television Awards, and she'll be calling in about an hour from now.
Yeah.
A little less than an hour.
Yeah. Well, let's review another movie. Maybe we're getting someone. We'll have to.
Yes.
I'm working on it.
Oh, he's working on
it. This is live television, ladies and
gentlemen. Live television?
Yes.
I'm telling you, we do need a webcam in here. Because
we're going to get one.
Yeah?
I have a camera here on my computer. But I need a real camera,
then people would just
right?
see your face all the time.
We have one in the other room, but...
Oh, we do? Can we use it?
I'll explain later.
Oh, okay. We'll find out.
Live.
Maybe I should buy one.
Maybe you should buy one.
Okay. What? That sounded like an echo. Okay, so we're going to review what about well, Alex? Not yet.
Let's do Calvary. This is a new movie. Mm. Let me find my notes here.
I have my notes.
You do? Okay. Well, of course, this is a limited release. In Calvary, Brennan Gleeson plays a good-natured priest who, after he is threatened during a confession, must battle the dark forces closing in around him.
He's a pistol-packing priest.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. You saw the trailer, I assume, then. So you.
I actually did watch some of those things you sent me.
Oh, well, thank you.
I saw the trailer.
So you see what happens in the trailer right at the beginning.
I thought it looked good. I thought it was dramatic with some funny lines. Brendan Gleeson from Gangs in New York, I thought he was really good in that movie. And, of course, Chris O'Dowd again. My question, though, before I comment on the movie. Okay, I'll comment. I thought it looks like it could be a good movie. Chris O'Dowd, when will he become a superstar? I think this guy's terrific.
I know. We just talked about him in Cuban Fury, and now
but when
we got
will
him
he
this?
Become more than he is?
Well, he was in Bridesmaids.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I first saw him.
Yeah.
But he's very good.
In the Sapphires.
This is 40 he was in, a brief part. Yeah. But when will he become a superstar?
I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me? Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I really think he has that type of talent.
When will Chris O'Dowd become a superstar? Give us a call. 602-252-1480. Again, that's 602-252-1480. When will Chris O'Dowd become a superstar?
We should pick some actors or actresses, whatever, and stay with one for a while and have a promotion. When will Chris O'Dowd, in this case, become a superstar? We'll get him on the air. We'll talk to him. We'll get other people throughout Hollywood to say, when will Chris O'Dowd become a superstar? What do you say? You want to do
it? Yeah. And, you know, also, I want to just, if anyone knows this reference, I'm just curious, if I throw this reference out there, Fruit Loops Dingus. If you know that phrase, Fruit Loops Dingus, if you know what that phrase is
that's
from.
That's Latin of coming out in the closet.
No. If you know, it's from something, some entertainment property popularized in the last couple weeks, give us a call, 602-252-1480. 1480.
Oh, it's about the Cheerios commercial.
No. I'm not going to say any more. Just Fruit Loops Dingus.
Mm.
You know, I'm just curious. You're not going to win anything. You're not going to win anything or anything like that. I'm just curious. If I say Fruit Loops Dingus.
What does that mean?
I'll tell you in a couple segments.
Oh.
But I'm just curious if
we
any
want
listeners.
People know.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the listeners know what it means.
Maybe, yeah. So 602. Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops Dingus.
Yes, 602-252-1480. But in the meantime, let's finish reviewing Calvary.
Yeah,
so Chris O'Dowd is in this movie, but of course, the star of it is Brennan Gleeson. We've seen him in The Guard.
And Gangs in New York.
Yeah, he's
very good.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, he was, of course, in...
What was that movie where he was the Irish gangster?
In Bruges?
Yeah, he was in that, too.
He was in Bruges.
He fell from the tower and splatted. Wasn't that him?
Oh,
thanks for ruining it. No, okay, yeah. It's
oh,
older,
was that
so,
a spoiler
yeah.
alert? Come on, well, the movie's like 5 years old.
I know, but it is a great movie, so people should check that one out.
It'll be pulled off the shelves now.
but yeah.
Thanks to me.
Yeah, but in the beginning of the movie... Brendan Gleeson, he plays his priest, and he's in confessional, and there's a guy that, you know, on the other side of the confessional, he says, 1 week from today, so Sunday morning, on the beach, I am going to kill you.
That's scary.
Yeah, so it's, you know, and
on
so
the
whole movie, yeah, on the beach.
How does he know the priest will be on the beach?
Well, he's assuming that the priest is going to go there and meet him. So, I don't know, if you were the priest, would you go there to the beach on Sunday morning?
Only if there were nude women.
If you were a priest? Pretty bad priest.
You've heard worse, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, really. There's a lot worse.
Wow, okay. Well, I will say that Brendan...
You could have said, like, you know,
all right.
Childcare.
Okay, Brendan Gleeson gives
Altar
an absolute... Downhill. Brendan Gleeson gives an absolutely superb performance in Calvary, as he always does. He's a great actor, yeah.
Excellent.
However, the story, which consists of a series of very verbose scenes during which Gleeson's character interacts with many mean-spirited members of his church before eventually arriving at an inevitable conclusion, leaves a lot to be desired.
Oh, too bad.
I gave Calvary a thumbs down.
Oh, no, the first one of today.
Yeah, it's the first one of today. And I went to go see it, too. I went to go see it.
Oh, you want a refund, don't you?
Yeah, I want a refund.
Too bad you can't get refunds for movies. Huh?
Wouldn't that be good? You can if you leave within the first, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You can, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, those first 20 minutes are the trailers.
I left Bruno in about 20 minutes.
You didn't like that?
No, not at all. I go, this is just disgusting. And I said to the lady, the manager, I go, I want a refund. This is disgusting. Wow. She goes, I'll never go out with you. But she gave me the money.
Okay. Well,
no twirling.
Well, Calvary is a little bit different than Bruno. Yeah. There does appear to be some sort of significance to it all, maybe some message about faith, you know, but the likelihood of that significance going over your head is quite high.
I'm sorry. I can't imagine it being about faith when the guy's carrying a weapon.
You have to have faith that people...
That the weapon will fire?
No, that people will... Faith in human goodness.
That's why you carry a weapon?
That's what the thing is, perhaps faith in God. Again, it kind of went over my head. It's something to do with faith. Something to do with faith. If you saw this movie and you understand it, if you saw Calvary and you understand it, give me a call, 602-252-1480. Again, 602-252-1480. Went over my head. I'm sure it went over a lot of people's heads. I would say that the meaning disseminates nothing more than dismay when all is said and done. So I'm giving Calvary a thumbs down.
Not good.
No, a good performance though. Good performance from Brendan Gleeson
and Chris O'Dowd.
And Chris O'Dowd does
Superstar.
A great good job too, but he's got a relatively smaller part.
Yeah.
In the movie. So
that's why, when will he become a superstar?
Nobody knows. We've just got a bunch of crickets here.
I've seen him in a lot of stuff because I recognize his face. I just don't know what I've seen him in.
No.
Bridesmaids. Yes.
Did he have an Irish accent?
Yeah.
He did?
Did he?
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
And what about the father in Ping Pong Summer? Is he really Irish?
I'm trying to remember
who
that was.
He had an Irish brogue.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, since you brought up Ping Pong Summer, did you like it?
Second time I brought it up.
Right, I know, but I'm saying, but to, earlier.
Yes,
we were
I did like it.
You did like it. So I gave it a thumbs up.
It was a cute comedy.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think you watched it, Dave.
What was it called?
Ping Pong Summer.
Oh, I never saw that.
He's getting love texts.
Oh, yeah.
He's sexting.
So am I.
Are you
sexting too?
Yeah, why is nobody from Kathleen?
Why is nobody sexting me?
Why I had to put some plastic
Bobby,
over my phone.
Bobby, you're slacking here. I'm not getting any sex.
Bobby, Joseph's phone number is.
No.
Yeah, what is it?
No, but none of my friends are even giving me sexts today.
Oh, you usually get sexting?
Yeah.
What is this? Eric, what's a sexting anyway? Sexting.
You have to ask?
Yes.
That's what you were just doing.
No, what's
sexting?
That's
not what you were doing?
Sexting, definition, from Eric.
I guess it's when you send something sexual via text.
Is that it?
To, I guess, anyone.
And Joseph, what's your definition?
Yeah, that's basically it.
And guys, I already knew what it meant. I just wanted to hear it a second, third time for confirmation.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Okay, well, speaking of hearing something,
yes,
let's hear...
I hear dead people. Oh, no.
You do?
No, that's I see dead people.
What are they saying?
First of all, what are the dead people saying?
They said, we wish we had smartphones back in the day, because they had to do regular
sex,
not sexting.
Well, what if they died yesterday? What if they died yesterday? Then they'd have...
No, they all never elevated to a smartphone.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what the studios are going to love? Us talking about sexting right after we talked about the Priest movie.
Makes sense.
The shoe fits.
This is just like right here, Calvary and
Aren't
sexting.
Aren't they redefining that, Eric, as priests will be able to marry and all that stuff?
Well, that would, you know, probably solve a lot of problems.
But you don't, right? I thought I heard that, no?
They should.
Yeah. What do you think, Joseph?
I'm Joseph.
Jay? Yeah. You think they should?
I don't know. We should have a priest on to talk about it.
Oh, a priest off.
Yeah, I don't think a priest off. That sounds worse than anything.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna play conductor here and
right.
say, and I'm gonna pull this little cord, and watch
we're all
what happens.
Off the train.
Watch what happens when I pull this cord. Water Ooh. Falls on me. Water
and
falls on me.
Flash
and
dance.
And I'm gonna flash dance. The song taking us into the break is
like
from
that.
Flash Dance. What a Feeling by Irina Cara.
Oh, I love that song.
Irina Cara.
Okay, that was better. I was wondering about the Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops
dingus.
I'll tell you after the break what Fruit Loops dingus is. But this is
I like
this is the
one.
Farthest thing from Fruit Loops dingus. This is this is 80s.
80s Fruit Loop dingus.
No.
Wasn't it happening
this
in the 80s?
This song is hot.
I wasn't born then, so I don't know.
Oh, no. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480
water.
AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
See that waterfall?
We'll be right back.
It's now time for the word association game. Contestants, go ahead.
Bars. Meat market. Gas.
High prices.
Politicians.
Liars.
Auto mechanics.
Ripoff.
Guys, whoa, wait a minute here. Not when I think of my auto mechanic, I think of trust, care, safety, and fairness. This sounds like the definition of a friend, which was what Alexander's All Care Automotive Repair achieves with his customers. The peace of mind that comes with the mechanic that puts you first. Located at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, 85018. Call 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I have a new way of saying that. Did you know that? Like, yeah. W. What do you mean? Remember that?
KPHX.
I saw that the other night. Private Parts.
I watched that recently again, too.
That was funny. That was a great first movie for Howard Stern's, I guess.
First and last, apparently.
But it was fabulous. I thought he did a great job. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment. So we have reviewed several movies today. Mm-hmm. Into the Storm, both thumbs up.
Yeah. Well, don't forget. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Stepping. Step out.
Step up.
Step
all
up.
All in.
All in. Both thumbs up.
Yes.
What was the other one?
And, of course, The 100-Foot Journey. That was a thumbs up for me. You
thumbs
wanted
up.
To see it, but you
I
didn't
wanted
get a chance to see it.
I didn't see it.
And
but we both saw about, all three of us, about Alex. We're going to review that next here yeah. on Breakthrough
well,
Entertainment.
But you keep forgetting about the song that brings us into the segment. We're
oh,
talking
yeah,
all about
that?
Dance.
Dirty Dancing.
Movies today.
Ooh,
yeah, Dirty Dancing,
Dirty Dance.
Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes.
Wow,
and,
we're on an 80s kick right now.
Well,
and
yeah,
and Eric, have you
flow.
Ever done Dirty Dancing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? But was it on a dance floor?
Oh, no.
Ah, there we go.
The ladies at the crawls.
Oh, they do dirty dancing?
They know that I...
You do dirty dancing?
I know how to grind.
Really? You do?
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that.
What happens when that happens?
What? I don't want to say.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, nobody puts baby in a corner. Oh, wait, that's the last one.
And don't send me your laundry bill. Okay, so.
No, okay. So. Anyway. Wow. You're on a roll today.
All right. Where were we?
And
About Alex.
Yeah, About Alex. Let's review that one. I know that all three of us saw About Alex.
Yeah, that was.
So what is it about Alex? Huh?
Snoring.
Okay, well, calm down. Let's tell what the listeners what we're talking about first. About Alex, in the film, Aubrey Plaza, Jane Levy, Jason Ritter, Maggie Grace, Max Greenfield, Max Minghella, and Nate Parker, we've got an ensemble cast there, play old college friends who reunite over a long weekend. After one of them attempts suicide, old crushes and resentments shine light on their life decisions and ultimately push friendships and relationships to the brink.
When you say ensemble cast, don't people have to be famous and well-known?
You don't know Aubrey Plaza?
That's the only person I know besides
You don't know
Jason Ritter.
You don't know Jane Levy from
Maggie
Suburbia
Grace.
And Evil Dead. You don't know Maggie Grace from Lost.
I recognize her,
but
I
had on
the
show again. Max Greenfield, he's been in a lot of movies. Max Minghella, he's been in a lot of movies.
Nope.
Okay. Mm. And Nate Parker, I know that he was in, I think, a football movie or something like that. But that's okay, whatever. Anyway, so I'm going to reserve my review till last. I want to hear what, since we already know what Eric thought of it, since he said snore.
Well, I'm not done, but Dave can go ahead.
No, I want to hear what you said, since you said snore first.
I'm trying to look up the Kevin Kline movie that this was basically modeled after.
All right, well, you looked that up, and Dave, what did you think?
I thought this was one of the worst films I've ever seen. Quite honestly.
Really?
And it was an interesting cast, but a group of old college friends who came back to visit their friend Alex, who attempted suicide. There was nothing profound about this. It was disjointed, unrealistic, in that Alex pretended nothing happened to him in the movie.
I know. That was silly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll let you keep going.
It didn't make sense to me. The movie quoted by Ben, I think, one of the characters, saying there were three stages of finding friends in college. Desperation, panic, and faith. Well, that's about the least profound thing I've ever heard of. It's just completely stupid. The characters were not well developed. It was slow. It wasn't catchy. Nothing profound, like I said. This movie tried to be the next Big Chill. And failed miserably. Or Indian Summer. Failed miserably.
Big Chill.
That's, I just looked it up. I was going
to
say that.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close to that. At one point,
they referenced Jeff Goldblum. They called the dog that.
Yeah, and Sarah, one of the characters, says it's like one of these 80s movies, and how wrong she was, because it wasn't anything like it. They tried to do a copycat on that.
Yeah.
The best scene was when the hot girlfriend, Kate, giving advice to Amber
Jane
on the
Levy?
Hotline. I think that was her. And that, if that was the best scene, then it must be pretty pathetic. The next best scene was when Ben, one of the, you know, the black actor who kept staring all the time in the camera. I don't know what he was doing. But
the fourth wall.
Yeah, remembering the first time most of them met in college. And it was way out of sequence. That should have been way early on. And I don't know. This was like a bad soap opera. Sari kissing Alex. Ben found out. Ben left in a rage. Hit a tree.
Other.
Came back. Big thumbs down. Boo, boo, boo. Horrible. Don't see this movie.
Wow. So is that a thumbs down?
Oh, it's like it doesn't even deserve thumbs.
Oh, it doesn't even deserve.
It's big toes down.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
Big toes. And I could use other body parts too.
Well, there was one reaction, Eric.
I'm with Dave on this one.
So no thumbs.
I mean, this is a movie about some guy trying to kill himself, and there was nothing but really bad suicide jokes through the whole thing.
Exactly. It was crazy. And the guy looked like the most sane of all of them.
Right. And not only that, he was laughing the whole time. And it's like, this guy just slit his wrist, and why is he so freaking happy?
And then one of the girls, he opens up the bandage,
right.
And she starts kissing.
And then they start making out.
Yeah. She started kissing the wrist first, and then they started making
out.
Wow,
that's one way to get a woman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, that's sort of cool. It was pathetic, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry to say. I just didn't like it.
It was so slow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
now, The Big Chill, though, was good.
Right, and it was a total ripoff of that movie.
Or Indian Summer, which is very good, too. Somewhat similar, right? Been a while. That's a movie.
Okay, it's been a while.
What was it called? I don't know.
Indian Summer. Also a very nice movie about a group of friends. I mean, those are pretty good movies, but not this one.
And then when Ben...
Yeah.
When he was driving off because he caught his girlfriend making out with the guy who tried to kill himself.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, then he crashes. They made it look like he was going to die. And then all of a sudden, he's sitting on the back of his car writing notes.
It was a little fender bender.
Yeah. I will say, that was a little odd scene.
The best part of the movie was Maggie Grace, me fantasizing.
Her and Jane Levy.
Jane Levy's a cutie.
She's cute.
I'm looking at her right now. She's a cutie.
Yeah, Maggie Grace did a good job.
Yeah, and so...
And then that's another thing. Jane Levy played this suicide hotline chick.
Yeah.
And she was all stoned.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, I can't talk on the phone. It's like, really?
It was crazy.
And why would you tell the people, yes, I can take phone calls if you can't?
Yeah, exactly.
So did Kathleen like the movie?
No.
She didn't like it either?
No.
Not a good movie. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to review it now.
Okay.
And I think you'll feel the same way.
Well, there are only so many things that one can do with a reunion tale. Therefore, you will undoubtedly recognize a lot of the themes contained within About Alex. However, the question then becomes about whether or not it is done well. Dave and Eric think that it was not done well. I believe that it was.
No, I don't think. I know.
I believe that it was done well. Anybody who has an eclectic group of friends, I definitely have one. My friends are weird. Will tell you, hello, will tell you that that this flick hits all of the right notes. All of that soap opera stuff, I'm sorry, but it goes on if you have goofy friends. And again.
And the angry guy, Josh, he was just like so angry the whole time. I just couldn't stand listening to him.
Well, yeah, I acknowledge some of your concerns, some of your reservations about the movie, but I still liked it. I think that it had amusing wit, profound emotional resonance, and a truly incredible cast. I liked the cast. If you did not know any better, these people in this movie could be playing the various people in your own naughty social circle. Again, that's if you have a naughty social circle. I don't know what kind of people you hang around with. But I hang around with
people. Kathleen, and that's about it.
Well, then you need to have some friends like the ones in this movie because it's really entertaining.
Wow, I can't believe you liked that movie.
I liked it.
Shocking.
I'm giving it a thumbs up. It is not a strong thumbs up. I will say that it was it could have easily went down, you know, but I did like it enough to recommend it. But you know, I am not in the majority here.
There was like maybe two touching moments. The rest of it was crap.
Well,
yes.
Well, I will say that, you know, it still took a lot for Eric to watch the whole thing, so he had to at least be somewhat entertained.
Oh, my God. Now I know how it feels to be a film critic and have to watch something.
Yeah, we had to watch it. I'm sorry. Okay. We had to watch it.
Well,
I still had some popcorn left.
Well, hopefully some of our listeners will go and check out About Alex.
Oh.
You know, because we want everyone to make up their mind for themselves.
That's true. That's true. I will agree.
I will say that, you know, I would not recommend it over Step Up or Into the Storm or The 100-Foot Journey, but I'm still giving it a thumbs up. It's better than Calvary. I can tell you that much. Check it out. Let us know. Breakthrough Entertainment. Go to breakradioshow.com. Click on the big F. Let us know on Facebook.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of great contests on there. A lot of our listeners went and saw Into the Storm for free. They had VIP seats at an advanced screening. They saw it before me.
Am I eligible to win the prizes?
Probably not.
Oh, let's read the eligibility requirements.
Yeah, is there rules on that?
No, there's no. There's the unwritten rules, I guess. But
that sounds like a legal dilemma.
But if Eric and I don't like it, you like it. But here's just a real quick rundown. Josh, the angry guy. Ben, a black guy that just stared all the time. Isaac, a rich guy with a hot girlfriend who wanted someone that he knew in college who confessed she liked him back then.
This is all that stuff.
Kate was the hot girlfriend. Sarah, a merger and acquisition attorney who could have been a psychologist.
To open a restaurant.
Yeah, but had her own problems with being intimate with bad boys. And Alex, who just attempted to. This is like craziness,
right?
That's
my friends. That's my friends. That's who I hang out with.
It was like a mishmash mess.
Yes.
Well, I hang out with all these people, and they're completely goofy, but you know what? It's entertaining, and
then
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Who plays Kate, then?
Who plays Kate?
Yeah, the hot girlfriend.
Jane Levy.
No, I mean what? In your circle of friends.
Who, I don't want to. Who's the hot girlfriend of who?
Of your group.
Yeah, the one
I don't want to say her name, but I've said it before.
Then who?
I have said it before.
All right, Shannon. Now, how about who's
not
Ben?
Not Shannon, someone else.
Oh, poor Shannon.
In your group, who plays Josh?
Who plays Josh?
What character are you nearest?
Which one are
probably
you?
Probably Jason Ritter.
Who's that?
Did you slit your wrist?
No, but...
Oh, is that Jason Ritter?
I'm emotional.
Ritter? That's Ritter's son?
Yes.
Oh. Welcome to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Wow,
welcome
no
to 2014.
So you would more identify with Alex, you're saying?
Probably, yeah. I'd be the one who was all emotional and needy.
And Eric
but
and
he
I
wasn't really. And then when he announced in the film that, yeah, I know where we're at.
All right, I'm just making sure because I just saw it.
I mean, so Eric and I don't identify with anyone, but we can identify with wanting the hot girlfriend.
Yes,
that's the only thing we could identify
with.
All the girls were cute.
Yes.
Yeah, they were actually, weren't they? Yeah, I liked them. Maggie Grace, I like her. Yeah, well, she's very cute.
Well, taking us out of this segment, we got a lot more to talk about. Dirty Dancing, Havana Nights. Mm. Do You Only Want to Dance by Maya?
No, I don't only want to dance.
I want more.
Was that a question?
I want to do more than dance.
You want
602-252-1480.
Like, for more?
Dance the Night Away.
Did
you ever see Havana Nights? It's entertaining.
No. You
Diego
mean like,
Luna.
Like more
and the girl
less?
In that movie, the girl in Havana Nights, she is super hot.
Oh, look at
that. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph wants more. More of what?
Everything.
Everything.
Seconds.
Okay.
10 seconds, guys.
And this is 1480 AM Breakthrough Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.